Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
This morning we're gathered here for Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look back across the week and we can see all kinds of television broadcasts and specials and things on the internet and Facebook, and everywhere we turn there's something about Easter. There's something about the festivities. There's something about the programs. There's something to do, somewhere to go, something to see. But you know, the greatest thing of Easter is the resurrection. It can't be duplicated. It can't be imagined. It has to be experienced. And with that experience, there comes a proof of the resurrection. And for a little while this morning, before we go into our Lord's Supper, I want us to think about proof of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to begin with verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll begin with verse 3 this morning. God's Word says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." This is the Apostle Paul. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to Scripture. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." May God add blessings to the reading of his word. I would have you notice a few things about the passage before I get into this message this morning. Notice Paul says, "I delivered what I received." When we are considering and thinking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is something personal. It is something very personal in every believer's life. Now, if you're not saved this morning, you can't grasp what I'm talking about. You have no way of understanding it because you have no way of experiencing the resurrection. You can read about it. You can have a head knowledge of it. But without experiencing being born again through Jesus Christ, through His blood, being born again by faith in Him and Him alone, without experiencing that resurrection in your own life, you can't relate to it. You may read about it. You may study it. You may have a grand academic knowledge of it. But you just can't experience it. Paul did. Paul knew what the resurrection was. Paul had experienced it. And Paul was delivering it. He was delivering it as a messenger of the gospel. You know, we all have that opportunity in our life. We all have the opportunity to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be any pastor. You don't have to have any title or any role. You don't have to have any degree or anything like that attached to your name. All you have to do is have a heart that is born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And having that heart equips you and should equip you with a desire to share Jesus with those around you. When we are at work, do we have a desire to talk about Jesus? Do we have a desire to talk about what went on in church? Do we have a desire to talk about how God has blessed you and your family? Do we have a desire to reach others with the experience of Jesus Christ as we have experienced Him? Do we have the desire to deliver what we have received? We should. If we're saved today, we should have a burning desire in our heart to tell others about Jesus and what He has done in our lives, what He is doing through our lives, what He is doing through our church. You say, well, He's not doing a lot through our church. Really? Is He not doing a lot through the church, or is the church not doing a lot through Him? There's a difference. Jesus equips us through His words, through the preaching and teaching of His word. He equips us to go out and take the message, to take and deliver that which we have received. Now, what conditions do we put on that personally? What conditions do we place on it? Well, I can't because, fill in the blank. I won't do it because, fill in the blank. I wish I could, but fill in the blank. I hope I can, but fill in the blank. We too often put our own conditions on what Jesus has done in our life, and we separate ourselves from the ability to deliver that which we have received. And Paul here is saying, I haven't done that. I have delivered it as I have received it, and how that Christ died for our sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sin. And we all have them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't one of us who hasn't failed God. There isn't one of us that doesn't continue to fail God. But praise be to His holy name this morning, the blood of Jesus takes away all those sins. All of the sin that ever was, all of the sin that ever will be, all of the sin that we brought in with us this morning. I hope it doesn't work this way, but if we decide to carry any out with us today, if we're saved, that's under the blood. That doesn't mean we're not going to have consequences. Just because we have sin that is under the blood of Christ does not mean there will not be consequences. There will always be consequences to sin in our life. Sometimes those consequences will be with us the entirety of our life. Sometimes they won't. That's up to God. That depends upon how He moves and how He works in your life and in my life. But nonetheless, we have to be aware of those consequences. And even though they may be with us for the remainder of our lives, we put them under the blood of Christ and they are forgiven. And we know that in life eternal, they are not going to stand in our way of the benefits and the blessings of being saved. Well, notice also, not only did Christ die for our sins, but He rose again the third day. The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He defeated death. He defeated hell. We may lay down this body, but we will not die if we have been born again, because we have already experienced a resurrection. We have already experienced the spiritual resurrection of being born again if we're saved today. This body may wear out. We'll have to lay it down. Our soul, we will be present with the Lord, and then on that glorious day when He chooses to give us a glorified body, when He chooses to rapture His church, we will receive those glorified bodies. And there we will be in heaven with our soul matched to a glorified body forever. Resurrection is part of the believer's life. Resurrection is part of who you are this morning. Resurrection is something that we come and we show up this morning not to just look back at what Jesus done and what happened with Him, but we come this morning as born-again believers looking at what Jesus accomplished through our lives, through our hearts when He saved us. With that thought, I want us to think about a few things this morning. First, I want us to think about the proof of human reasoning. Remember when Christ was crucified, there was a Roman guard put in a tomb that was sealed. There were disciples. Those disciples were fearful. They were weak. The government was afraid the disciples were going to go steal the body. So the guards were placed there. The seal was placed on it. They were too feared. They were too scared. They were too weak. They had failed Jesus. They had failed Him during that time. They ran. Peter denied Him publicly. Judas denied Him and sold Him into captivity. They couldn't steal the body. They couldn't steal Jesus' body. They didn't have the strength to do that. They had been traumatized by what they had seen. Even though Jesus had been teaching for a long period of time what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, they still had in their mind a picture of Jesus, and it was shattered. It was shattered during the Passion Week. It was shattered at the cross. It wasn't until the resurrection took place that that human reasoning was put aside for Jesus Christ. There are people today, sadly, people today, even in this community that we live in, who reason away Jesus. They reason away everything about Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Jesus may have been a good teacher, or Jesus may have been this, or Jesus may have been that, but I just don't know about that whole resurrection stuff, and I just don't know about this, and I just don't know about the other. And it goes on and on and on and on. They try to reason Jesus Christ away in their head, and that way they don't have to deal with the conviction of not being born again. They can't experience the resurrection of Christ. They can't relate to the resurrection of Christ because they have never taken the opportunity to submit themselves to Christ, to come to Him and ask forgiveness of sin. Someone who says today that they have been saved by grace through faith, that they have come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and yet they try to spend their time reasoning away who Jesus Christ is, I've got to be honest with you, I question their salvation experience. I'm not being judgmental, but I am questioning it because there is no way spiritually you can experience a resurrection. You can experience being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and still question and try to reason away who Jesus is. The resurrection wasn't a stealing of a body. The resurrection wasn't some conspiracy. Romans 13:20 tells us, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. It's God who raised Jesus from the dead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, raised Jesus from the dead. Period. If we try to reason it away, if we try to logically explain it, if we try to academically do anything with it, all we're going to do is keep talking ourselves into one great big headache. Well, not only is there no proof and no human reasoning, there is a human testimony. The resurrection was not a hallucination. Notice in our passage how many times Jesus was seen. He was seen of Cephas and the 12. He was seen of more than 500 brethren. He was seen of other apostles. He was seen of Paul. The human testimony of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus through the lives of individuals who are born again and saved by grace through faith is a proof through human testimony that the resurrection is real. Today, if you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you are part of that human testimony. Your name goes alongside of these that were just mentioned in God's Word. So again, I come back to Paul's opening words. It's been delivered. Are we taking it and are we delivering it to others as we have received it? Not only do we have a human testimony, but we also have to deal with the human nature. Think about the disciples. Think about all of those that were present at that time. I hear often today it is said that it was all a lie. It was all a myth. It was all something that was just made up. Really? Are people willing to die for something that they don't believe in? Are they really willing to lay down their lives for something that they don't honestly believe in? All of the 12, except for one, except for John, the Apostle John, the other 11 were all martyred because they believed in Jesus Christ. And they were not mercifully killed. They were killed in a very ugly, a very grotesque manner. Some of them tortured. Even John himself was tortured to the point where he was going to be given up for dead. Before John the Apostle was exiled to the Isle of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation or was given the book of Revelation, he was boiled in oil. Think about that. Think about that. The animal fat was rendered into oil, brought to a boil, and a living human being was dipped in it. He was done that way to torture him to death. And then he was taken from that condition and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos to die there from infection. God spared him. Would anyone in their right mind be willing to go through that because of a lie? No, they wouldn't. These folks, they gave up everything for Jesus. So let me ask you a question this morning. What are you giving up for Jesus? It isn't a matter of some grand dollar amount that's laid out there. That isn't what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, when challenged about your Christianity, what are you willing to set aside and say, I will take Jesus over what? If it meant your job, the next day you went into your job and they asked you if you were a Christian, they came to you and they asked if you were a Christian, if you identified yourself as a born-again Christian, could you say without doubt, yes, I do, even if it meant they escorted you to the door? Could you say beyond a shadow of a doubt that, knowing that it may cost you your vehicles, it may cost you your home, it costs you your income? Could you say that to someone, knowing that it may cost your life? What are we willing to give up to hold on to the name of Jesus? Folks, that is the testimony of our salvation this morning. That is the power and the authority of the resurrection. It made that kind of impact on these folks. It should be making that same impact on the church today. We too often have church as an entertainment event. We don't often enough look at it squarely in the eyes of the reality of the resurrection and the proof of the resurrection as it's lived out in our lives, and how we make a stand for Jesus Christ with the life that we live, with the work that we do, with the efforts that we put out. Not only is it proof that comes through human nature, it's proof that comes through a common experience. The disciples were brokenhearted by the death of Jesus. They hid in fear. 3 days after that fear, they were filled with power. They were filled with power because He rose from the dead. When we were saved, when we were born again, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we left a life of fear. We left a circumstance and a situation of fear. We met Jesus face to face. We were resurrected from the dead to a new life. We saw. We became part. We took the same testimony that these. The word seen is mentioned 4 times in this passage. It is a word that shares a common experience of a witness, of a testimony. We have a testimony. We have a witness of Jesus Christ. He is part of us. We are part of Him. We have that common experience. We have the common experience of the resurrection. It is something that we come today not just to celebrate Jesus' experience with it, but to celebrate our experience and the relationship we have with Him through that experience. And it all culminates in this one last point. It is the point of a changed life. A new creature, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." For some reason, church today struggles with that. For some reason today, church struggles. Now, it's okay for me to be a new creation. It's okay for my past to be forgotten. It's okay for all of that to be passed away for me. But now, wait a minute. I can't have that for other people. Other people just have to deal with their past. Me, my past is gone. It's passed away. It's under the blood. Listen, there's not one of us here today who doesn't have a past, who doesn't have sin in our life. There's not one of us today who hasn't failed God and that is put away. It's not who we are today. There's not a person out there in the world who doesn't have a past that needs to be put under the blood of Jesus. We carry the testimony. We carry the torch. We are the salt and we are the light that takes that message from this church, from this congregation, from this sanctuary, and we take it out into the workplace and we take it out into the world, and that's where we share it with those folks. We let them know there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is a way to have your life changed. There is that opportunity. There is that way. Will they take it? I can't tell you they will or they won't. All I can tell you is our responsibility is to deliver that message, to deliver what we have received, and to deliver it out of a heart of love. I was once where they are. I love them enough to go out there and tell them, I was once where you are, and I can tell you there is a Savior who can make a difference in your life. The sin can be put under the blood. The alcohol can be put under the blood. The drugs can be put under the blood. The pornography can be put under the blood. The immorality can be put under the blood. The stealing and the violence, the deception, the lies, it can all be put under the blood. Jesus changed my life. Jesus can change your life. Delivering that which we have received. Proof of the resurrection. Proof. So with that, I would like to ask if our deacons would step forward and if they would begin to distribute the Lord's Supper. And I would ask that you would do this for me, please. As you take the bread and as you take the cup, please hold it until everyone has been served, and then we will continue the Lord's Supper from there. Gentlemen, if you would please take the bread and please distribute that, and then we'll come back and we will distribute the cup as well. Thank you, gentlemen. If you would, please distribute the cup as well. Thank you. Everyone has been served. I will say this, that we are observing communion by invitation. Everyone that is saved by grace through faith in Jesus, and everyone that is confident in that salvation this morning, is invited to join us. If you're not sure, if you know you're not saved this morning, then please take the opportunity before we proceed to make things right with God. Take this opportunity to have your heart right with Him. Take this opportunity to be saved if it's needed this morning. Observing the Lord's Supper is something that is done in remembrance of Jesus. It is something that is done in remembrance of by those who know Him personally. Reading from Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Jesus said, "And He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to them." Ronnie, would you bless the bread, please, sir? And He said, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In verse 20, we read, "Likewise also the cup." Ray, would you bless the cup, please? Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you." We partake the Lord's Supper this morning, as we do every time we observe it, to remember Jesus. Today, it is especially sincere and especially near and dear to our hearts, as we do it on Easter Sunday. With that said and done, I want to close us in a word of prayer. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sharing in our services today. May God richly bless you and your family as you continue the observance of Easter and Resurrection Sunday. Let's pray.